So if you had tuned into NPR's Morning Edition 10 years ago today, this is what you would have heard.
In a dramatic close to the Kyoto Climate Change Conference, delegates approved a historic protocol obliging...
Blurry-eyed delegates erupted into applause when Conference President Hiroshi Oki declared approved the document...
It's so decided.
The United States called the treaty a significant step toward curbing global warming. But the final hour...
Morning Edition's Bob Edwards, joined by NPR reporter Julie McCarthy, who was in Japan at the signing of the Kyoto Climate Change Treaty back in 1997. Today, 10 years later, in Bali, Indonesia, world leaders are trying to agree on new ways to tackle global warming. And joining us now from Bali is NPR's Richard Harris. Hi, Richard.
Hi.
Well, you were also in Kyoto 10 years ago. You were one of the reporters covering that treaty, and you're now in Bali 10 years later. What are the major differences between the two gatherings?
Well, I think the major differences are, first of all, that Kyoto produced a very large and substantial treaty. There's no expectation of that in Bali. The hope in Bali is to essentially just to rebuild momentum that has been very much lagging in recent years post-Kyoto.
I wonder if there was a difference in expectations, in optimism back then, that people actually thought that the treaty would lead to significant reductions?
Well, indeed, there was optimism, very hard-fought and hard-won optimism, because it was not an easy negotiations by any stretch of the imagination. It really is embedded in the history of what's happened since Kyoto, which is that the United States did not ratify the treaty and has been sitting on the sidelines. And so 10 years later, the rest of the world is saying it doesn't make sense to go forward with climate treaties without the United States' presence.
And is the United States putting forward the same arguments it put forward 10 years ago?
There are variations on that theme, for sure. They're similar.
And those arguments basically that China and India need to ratify the treaty, and they're not doing so. Let's listen to you 10 years ago talking about China.
In the next couple of decades, if China keeps growing at its present rate, it indeed will surpass the United States as the leading emitter of fossil fuels. And their economy looks like it's going to be based very substantially on coal. It's extremely...
So your prediction there has panned out. China is now the world's leading emitter of CO2 gases. And I'm wondering, is that a big topic of conversation at Bali?
It is. And China actually did ratify the Kyoto Protocol, but the Kyoto Protocol actually requires China to do nothing. The real issue now is how do you move them from being on board but not having to do anything to being on board and eventually taking on some commitments. They're clearly not going to take on commitments in this next period either, but the hope is that there will be some signal that sometime further down the line China will. I mean, it's true that China is close to or arguably has surpassed U.S. emissions. There's different opinions about where the two countries stand on that. But the reality is also China is fundamentally still a developing country. There are many, many, many poor people in China, and they're trying to build an economy to bring people out of poverty. So their situation is really quite different from what's happening in the United States.
Richard, cast your mind back, if you would, to 1997, and if you remember whether or not extreme weather was a concern, and people were saying that that was linked to global warming back then.
Well, I think that was in the scientific documents, but, you know, people have not really taken the scientific documents as seriously then as they do now. And I think what has happened is the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change has made its observations stronger and worded more strongly. And I think people really are paying much more attention or believing it much more now. Partly it's because we've had a lot of hot weather and a lot of extreme weather in the last decade, and I think people say, oh, this is a real thing, this really can happen.
And also, Richard, back then there were still some dissenters and skeptics, and there were still some people who were saying, well, the science is not settled on this. It's not clear that global warming is actually happening.
That's absolutely true, and I think that there are still skeptics, but fewer of them. And that's because the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, this UN scientific body, is attaching more and more confidence to its observations. There's still a lot of uncertainties about how quickly it will happen and what the effects will be, but there's greater and greater confidence that we are looking forward to a planet that will be dramatically different in a matter of some decades.
NPR's Richard Harris speaking to us from Bali, Indonesia. Thanks for joining us.
My pleasure.